up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. I'm Chris Chin. Everyone is talking Giannis. Warriors have been talking it for about 8 years now. It's finally hitting ahead in Milwaukee. And for all intents and purposes, Giannis is on the market. Everyone's talking about it. Even my wife called me this morning from the gym watching ESPN on the TV saying, wait, the Warriors might get Giannis onto cumpleaños? And I said, well, pump the brakes. They're interested. And they've been interested, but it finally sounds like the Warriors have at least firmly contacted the Bucks, and it seems to be that they are willing and able to put Jonathan Kuminga and Jimmy Butler packaged with a bunch of picks on the table if Giannis were to become available. First concrete, truly concrete news of some sort of negotiations between the Bucks and the Warriors. Also, somewhere it leaked a little bit that last year the Bucks had a little bit of interest in Kuminga, minimal, but if you remember, there was a glimmer of hope, and I'm sure Joe Lacob has it printed out and pinned on his wall that the Bucks had a little bit of interest in Kuminga. So it's a starting spot. Zooming out a little bit, if we're just taking Pauly Market's odds for Giannis to be traded at their word, Bucks still highly likely to have Giannis pass the deadline, but 15%, I think, was Knicks, 10% chance that he's on the Heat after the deadline, and a 5% chance that he's with the Golden State Warriors past the, at the deadline. I'll take 5%. It means we're in the running. It means we're, I would guess, a top three candidate to pull Giannis at this point. Obviously, as each day goes past, there are going to be more and more teams that are throwing their hat in the ring. We're going to look at what different contenders or the top suitors for Giannis have to offer. We're going to look at different options that the Warriors can package for Giannis. I want to look at also the other name beyond Giannis that has been linked to the Warriors, which we said on here on the channel, God, 7 months ago or since last offseason, that the Warriors could go back after the Warriors can go get Andrew Wiggins back in a Kuminga deal. A lot of smoke there that we will talk about in a second. And then we're also just going to talk about what the Warriors' options are with Jimmy Butler on if and when you can trade him, what you would be looking for if you were going to trade him, and essentially kind of look at the Warriors' all-in options and also the wait on it and just hold tight and wait for the summer options. So let's start with Giannis. All right, so the different options that the Warriors could package together, a few different ones. Obviously, it's going to start with Kuminga, unless we use Kuminga in a Wiggins trade. But if we're trading Kuminga in that Wiggins trade, it probably means that we are no longer candidates to get Giannis. It would also give the Heat probably a pick and more ammunition. And we already know that the Heat are going to be all in on Giannis. So that only just separates our ability to get him compared to Miami. So we're operating under the fact that Kuminga will be in a Giannis deal. Jimmy obviously is the big name. You're setting off his contract, which is exactly the same as Giannis's in terms of salary. If that's the case and you're sending Jimmy and Kuminga, you're obviously sending out an additional, what is it, like $22 million in contract. The Warriors would need to get back either Bobby Portis or Kyle Kuzma. I would want Portis there, and the Warriors, I believe, would also. They've long wanted Portis. I guess you could argue that we might need a better small forward, but I think, and Kuzma, but I think the need for a stretch big, especially with Portis, who can basically be a stretch four or even a stretch five in a Steve Kerr lineup, that would be important, particularly if you're looking at a front court of Draymond and Giannis together, not much spacing there. So having Portis would make a little bit more, or give you a little more flexibility in terms of your front court pairings. So you're operating under a Kuminga, Jimmy, for Giannis, Portis. In terms of salaries, the Warriors, in terms of picks, have three first-round picks, 2026, 2028, and 2032, which is potentially a Steph Curry, a post Steph Curry pick. I hope it's not, and I hope Steph plays for another 6 or 7 years. But in all reality, there's a good chance that 2032 pick, which can be unprotected, is a gold mine for teams. But you also think if you do go get Giannis, then how valuable is that pick in the future? You know, the Warriors would probably be a competitive team. Maybe even in a post-Steph Curry world, the Warriors are still not even a lottery team. So that's something that other teams would think about. But that 2032 pick at this point is thought of as gold for teams. So you have 3 first-round picks. You also have 4 potential pick swaps. And who knows how those convey? Milwaukee would be hitting a full rebuild. Chances are those swaps wouldn't even be used because Milwaukee's pick would be better than ours to begin with, but it's just another avenue to dangle, and it's just another piece of value, although it's debatable how valuable that would be. But the option of 3 first-round picks and 4 first-round swaps does sound pretty appealing. The other person you could potentially sweeten this deal with is by throwing Pajemski into this deal. Interesting, right? Because what is Pods' value? He has 1 more year on a team option. After that, you assume he hits free agency and then he is going to get paid what he's worth. So call that a neutral contract. Good role player. I don't know how much you want to build around him. I mean, we're going through that same thought process as Warriors fans right now, but there's value to be had. There's a little bit of upside, and he's been playing better as of late, although shooting 4 for 13 and getting heckled by Anthony Edwards last game didn't help his cause. You do start to see, you know, a little bit of the bag that Pods has, some of that craftiness, and you know, he's been more creative and finding ways to get into the paint. Now he needs to start finishing and shooting better. But I say that just to say Pods may have some value in the eyes of a rebuilding team. That's what the Warriors have to offer. It's a pretty enticing offer, particularly because I think other than the Brooklyn Nets, we have the best and sweetest package of picks alone. I wish we had better young players to offer. How valuable is Jimmy Butler in that contract to the Bucks? I don't know. Maybe they send him out somewhere else and kind of use that as a trade vehicle. Hard to evaluate that as well in a trade. But let's compare that to the other two teams that are got the most smoke around them, the Knicks and the Heat. And I'll back up by saying, if the Thunder, the Spurs, even the Rockets decided to enter the Giannis sweepstakes, they would be able to blow away our offer. And it would pretty much mean we were moving on because those teams have so many picks and so many young players that they could double our offer or triple our offer if they really wanted to. So let's, as of this moment, it doesn't sound like those teams are interested in Giannis. They like what they have going on. So let's look at the Knicks first, and then we'll look at the Heat. Knicks are already known as Giannis's, or not already known, but it's been known that Giannis likes the Knicks. He would have been open to going to the Knicks. I'm going to assume the Knicks are his first option, but then Giannis sweepstakes are going to be a list of teams he's willing to go to, not one team he's forcing himself to go to, I wouldn't think. So if we're looking at the Knicks, yeah, obviously he'd want to go there, but they don't have a lot of picks. Really, all they have to offer is players. They have been known to put Karl Anthony Towns already up for trade potentially and a big contract. Michael Bridges becomes trade eligible at the end of this month. So you would think that they're throwing those two guys and you're probably going to have to facilitate with a third team to move some of those guys, get some picks in return, package that to the Bucks. Maybe there are some other young players there, but I don't know if the Knicks have a great package. But Giannis, if he says, hey, I really want to go to the Knicks, maybe they get some sort of a discount in a trade if the offer is good enough. I don't know if they can get there, but they would have to do a whole bunch of trade gymnastics. They have the value if people think that Karl Anthony Towns truly is a max player. Up for debate, he is a very good player, and if people are willing to give several first-round picks for him and maybe another first-round pick for Bridges, then yeah, maybe they have a little bit of draft capital to offer. But I think the Warriors have a better offer than the Knicks at this point. Miami Heat, they are probably the leaders in the clubhouse, it sounds like. It sounds like they're willing to go all in. They've tabled their Ja Morant trade aspirations and intend to focus on going all in to make a Giannis trade happen. Their war chest is A lot of good young players. The key being Tyler Hero, who is from Milwaukee. Great. Jaime Jaquez, who was in the running for sixth man of the year at one point, my UCLA Bruin alum, but he is also starting to emerge and break out this year. Nikola Jovic and Kalel Ware. So they have a lot of good young players. I mean, any combination of two, even three of those guys, especially if Hero's in there, and that's already hard for the Warriors to beat. I don't know where Kuminga falls in that. Does Kuminga have more value than Jaquez in the Bucks' eyes, particularly? I don't know. I guess he's got more upside, but Jaquez is the better player right now. Anyways, they also have some picks, not as many as the Warriors, but they have their 2030, 2032 first round picks. I believe the that after the deadline, so at this moment, that's all they have. After the deadline passes, then I think they get access to like their 31 and 33 picks, maybe even their 2026 pick. They're shopping Wiggins, it sounds like, which we'll talk about in just a second. And if they are able to move Wiggins for a first round pick or something else, that also becomes the ammunition in the Giannis sweepstakes. So for all those reasons, right, it's particularly the young players, plus, maybe just a couple picks less than the Warriors, but the ability to obtain picks and sweeten the pot. And the fact that it seems at some point Giannis said he would potentially be open to playing in Miami. It was on his short list in the offseason, which who knows how confirmed that actually is. But most sources have the Heat as a very potential option for Giannis. I would put them as, if Giannis was going to get traded, I would put them as the number one candidate. I would put the Warriors, and maybe this is me just being optimistic, I would put them at number two ahead of the Knicks at this point. But things change quickly, especially on social media and amongst trade rumors. All right, that's where it kind of stands right now. We'll see. There is about, what, 9 days left. And oh, also, there is an incentive for the Bucks, particularly for Giannis, to want out before the trade deadline. He becomes max extension eligible in November or December next year, which he's going to want, but only if he is on a new team by the trade deadline. He has to have spent at least, I think, 6 months with a new team in order to be able to qualify for ex being extension eligible. So if he waits until summer, he won't be able to get that extension with his new team. So he has extra incentive to get this done now. He's also been rumored to be looking to change agents to Rich Paul, which the rule is you need to allow at least 7 days with your new agent before they can act on your behalf. So with the trade deadline happening in 9-ish days as of today, he would have to make that switch now to give Rich Paul the full access of weapons in order to facilitate a trade and a contract and all that stuff for him. So just little extra business matters on the Giannis side. Let's talk Andrew Wiggins, and we'll kind of talk more kind of the Warriors position with things. Obviously, if you can go get Giannis, you throw everything at him and you try to get Giannis. All right, moving on. Assuming you don't have to assume. Okay, let's go with this. Warriors heated the talks with Miami. Wiggins for Kuminga would probably have to throw in a first round pick, in my opinion, to get that to happen. Also would have to throw in about $7 million worth of salary, which can be done to match Wiggins' $29 million contract. Wiggins also has a player option next year, $30 million, which the Warriors initially were the ones to give him that contract. I would assume he's going to opt into that, particularly if he ends up back with the Warriors. No reason that he would opt out of that. The Heat are willing to do that if they can go get Giannis. Obviously, if we are able to do that trade, we are out of the Giannis sweepstakes, but let's operate without Giannis in the picture right now. So, Warriors, I like the trade for Wiggins. If you can make that happen, you're getting a what you're missing right now is an athletic wing. You're missing a wing that can shoot from the outside. He's shooting 39%, and he's been there for the last 4 or 5 years consistently from three. He gives you that third scorer you need, not a second scorer like last year, where he was basically our second scorer before the Jimmy Butler trade and the Warriors weren't good enough. But if you make a subsequent move to make Andrew Wiggins your third scorer, now you're potentially in business. and he gives you a perimeter point of attack defender, one of the best in the league now, which is crazy to say. And he gives you some weak side help. He's averaging a block per game and gives you athleticism and a little bit of verticality. Huge for everything the Warriors need. Not quite the shot creator playmaker that you would hope for, but that's why he can be had for less than several first round picks. Best way to think of Wiggins is kind of he's like not a completely the same, but kind of like a bigger D'Anthony Melton. They can't handle it nearly the same, but he gives you what you need to that wing with a little bit more size in terms of the scoring, the shooting, and the defending. And that's important because if we're looking forward, if you're making this Wiggins trade, but you're not able to get another star, you're not able to get Giannis, you're not able to get one of the guys we're going to talk about in a bit, then you're playing for next year, right? You're looking at, I'm getting Wiggins now, and then I'm hoping that that pairs well with Jimmy Butler when he returns next year. I think that's a good fit. I think you put Wiggins, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, that's a very good quartet to build off of. The problem here is if you're playing for next year, you probably don't have D'Anthony Melton back. You probably aren't able to get under that taxpayer minimum. And by that level, you're probably not going to be able to afford D'Anthony Melton. He is not going to opt back into this $3.6 million contract. If you're able to get your taxpayer mid-level exception, which you do not have to pay to Horford. You paid it to him last year. He's just under a regular contract next year. So you would have a taxpayer mid-level exception around 6 million. I don't think that you are going to be able to get Melton to come back at that. So if you lose Melton, you need to replace him. And Andrew Wiggins is the perfect replacement to do that for you, particularly if you have Jimmy Butler returning the following year. So that's the importance of getting Wiggins. And again, it would be a move that is setting you up for when Jimmy Butler returns. However, the other option is you do the Wiggins trade and you're looking potentially to go for it this year by trading Jimmy Butler for one of the stars that we've talked about for the last month. Those being Trey Murphy, which the contracts don't really match. You'd have to actually get some stuff back in return, and you'd probably gonna give a whole bunch of picks, which has been the holdup. Trey Murphy, obviously, great option. You know, if you can get Trey Murphy, even as a fallback, if the Wiggins trade doesn't happen, if nothing happens else, I think the Warriors just cough up the picks and just go get Trey Murphy, whatever the price is, because you got to do something. Trey Murphy would be my first option. There's a lot of talks about Jimmy Butler for Anthony Davis swapped. They make the same money. Oh man, we've talked about it a little bit. I kind of go back and forth on it because Anthony Davis used to be a top three, four player in the NBA. Now, injuries aside, he's a great player. He's an all-star. He's a top 10 to 12 player. He's a top five defender, can fairly switchable and just gives you unlimited rim protection, great lob threat on offense, can shoot you out of a game if he just sits and is lazy on offense and just wants to sit on that mid-range and shoot threes as well. And he's a poor jump shooter, but he's happy to shoot it. When he shoots it well, you can go win a championship like the Lakers did when he was on fire from the mid-range, because then he's unstoppable. Most of the time, he is a ball stopper and it doesn't fit with a Steph Curry offense outside of that pick and roll action. It'd be interesting to see the fit. You would be missing wing players. You'd be missing shooting on the outside. However, your defense would be second to none in terms of if you had Draymond Green and Anthony Davis as your front court, you had Wiggins as your small forward, and you still have D'Anthony Melton this year at your two spot. That defense is the best defense in the league, probably over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Not necessarily, but probably. So it'd be going for it and it'd be a leap of faith keeping them healthy, but it puts you in play for this year and next year and maybe a little bit further beyond. Here's the catch with Anthony Davis is that he wants a contract extension. He signed for a couple more years at his like 60 something million or at his $55 to $60 million level. He wants a 4-year extension on top of that in this offseason. The max extension he is eligible for is 4 more years for 275 mil, which is about 69 million per year. It would take him through 2032 when he's 38 years old. Can you imagine paying fragile Mr. Glass Anthony Davis $70 million when he's 36, 37, 38 years old? Pretty much hamstrings your franchise for all of those years. And man, that's a tough pill to swallow. Do you have to give him the extension? No, he doesn't necessarily have that leverage, but I believe he has a player option that third year. So he could say, hey, I want to opt out then. And you only have him for the next 2 years, which might be fine, but we'll see how that works. He would be a little disgruntled. He's already not the best locker room player. And I question his work ethic sometimes. He consistently comes into the season a little overweight, a little out of shape, obviously injury prone. I don't know how the locker room fit would be with him and Draymond. There's just a lot of question marks for how good a player he is. But that being said, it's Anthony Davis. And if that's the move to go all in and he is the one star slash superstar that is available and he can be had for a first round pick, probably with Jimmy Butler. Yeah, maybe make it happen, right? Go get trade Kuminga in a pick for Wiggins, trade Jimmy in a pick for Anthony Davis, and you have a very good roster right now at the moment. The other option, which seemed kind of dead, and it seems like the asking price is too much, but Chris Mannix just reported yesterday that Michael Porter Jr., Nets are asking for King's ransom right now, but a lot of teams, particularly the Warriors, are operating under the fact that that asking price may and probably will come down by the trade deadline. The Nets should be trying to deal him. And if they are, they would potentially be interested again at the right price. I don't know that it comes down enough, but just another name in the options. Yeah, I think the Warriors, they're back in the mix. It sounds like they're making the calls. They're in the mix. Maybe this is all for naught and they just stand pat and they just say, hey, we're not getting enough value for Kuminga. There is no market. We're just going to hold tight, hope for Giannis in the offseason, hope for other options, maintain flexibility. And that's what they end up doing. They end up calling it a wash on this year and they go all in next year, kind of building off of a Jimmy Butler contract and potentially Jonathan Kuminga trade value. I don't like it, but again, if you're not getting any value on trades this year and there just doesn't seem to be any traction, maybe that's your best option. But again, I don't like it. All right, a lot of big names, a lot of hope out there. Mike Dunleavy, it's time to get it done. Go get Giannis, go get Wiggins, go get a Trey Murphy, Anthony Davis, Michael Porter Jr. Has to be the right combination. The one caveat that I have is you cannot trade Jimmy Butler now at the trade deadline unless you've found a supplementary move trading Kuminga for a borderline star player, impact player, right? It doesn't make sense to trade Jimmy Butler now, which is essentially an all-in move. You get an all-star back, like say call it an Anthony Davis or a Michael Porter Jr. You're still not competitive this year. Doesn't make sense to get them at this point. You're better off waiting till the offseason unless you know you can get that second impact player like a Wiggins or even a Trey Murphy by packaging Kuminga. And now you have a chance to go for it now. Otherwise, you have to wait and wait till the offseason because you might have better options. All right. Like always, let's see what happens and hope the next time we talk, there is some breaking news for you. If you've made it this far, give me a like, a subscribe. Go Dub Nation. I've been Christian. Until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.